What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Hi.
Hey. What's up? What's up? Ow.
I was about to say it's a date, but I guess we shouldn't say what day it is, because who knows when people are going to watch or listen to this. But hello again.
I have a question for the audience. It's after 8 o'clock. Do you know where your man is? What's
Do you
up,
even know
y'all?
Where your man is after 8 p.m.? Or should it be more like 10?
He could be at HEB for God's
right.
sake. Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, y'all. Right. Like, if you listening to this, don't start, you know, looking at find your location or your man at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm like, 8 o'clock? Damn.
With that song, anyway, okay, yeah. Yes, y'all are listening to What Works For Us, All Black.
All queer.
Emerson. Must we go through this every single time? Are you appreciative of being a part of the community? Do we need to pull your queer card?
I didn't queer. Say it any old kind of way. Are we all tired queer. Of you making it seem with your performative speech every single time I say that? After I say it, it's like a smart act of response. Are we tired of that?
Because
yet?
I'm trying to make you a better person and love yourself and all of those things. So that's just my contribution
to the
world.
You can save that energy for somebody else who needs it. I don't have that issue, but thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you want to do next? Oh, here goes a sippy cup. I got a sippy cup today. It's not lean either.
Oh, right. Because yours look like it could have some other stuff going on with it. I mean, anything could be in my sippy cup, but that one is like a dead giveaway. Like, what's that?
The styrofoam, that's like, white styrofoam cup. The summer cup.
Yeah, that's
cup.
Like when people pull out red cups. And it's like some people, like, especially people who don't drink. I hate when they do it. Well, stop using those red cups if you go every time. I don't drink. Okay, well, you know red cups is like kind of synonymous or related to drinking. Right. So why would you keep bringing that cup on? It's a party cup. Right. So why would you keep bringing that on if you don't drink? I don't drink. Okay. Well, your cup doesn't really give you that. You need to get a sippy cup like me. Anyway.
Well, you know, they say them sippy cups are wine glasses for soccer moms.
Oh, yeah. No. You can put stuff in those, too. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it's just a little bit more it's so much of a dead giveaway.
Yeah, when I see women walking around like in the grocery store, I'm like, bitch, you got something in that cup, right? Because why are you walking around? I mean, I guess it's okay to be hydrated, but you are not walking around with this sippy cup and it's just water in there or rehydration tablets or something. But it goes back to the ladies who we talk about this all the time, but the women who just wear athleisure, athletic clothes every day, all day.
Absolutely.
and don't go to the gym.
Absolutely. Hate it.
Hated it. Shout out to the Wayans, the Scary Movie 6. Now, I know we got to check in, but since we went there, I watched the trailer. You know who's really selling this movie? Of course, Marlon Wayans. We got to talk about Sean, too, because he's looking a little different. But we'll get to that. Regina Hall. She has me really... Like, I just love, first of all, I love the way she talk, right? And stuff like that. And I just think about, like Regina Hall from the first time I seen Scary Movie is not the same person when I see her now. Like, it just doesn't even feel like the same actress. Because when she was in Scary Movie, she was Brenda. I never correlated it. It wasn't until she really started talking about it that I really even correlated it that was her. Even though I knew it was her, I just never went back like, oh, that's, you know, Regina Hall is Brenda. Like, I would talk about Brenda from Scary Movie as a separate person than Regina Hall, the actress. Mm-hmm. You do the same thing.
Well, I guess I just didn't, I think now she is Regina Hall, the actress, because she's done so much since then. I don't think I was as familiar with her I almost would kind of got her confused with the girl, not really, but kind of with the girl Dashiki from Don't Be a Menace While Drinking in the Hood.
Yeah,
they don't look that much alike, but I'm just saying, when I first saw, I'm like, oh, did they get that same girl? That's how unfamiliar I was with her at that time. But now it's like, she's Regina Hall, the actress. So it's like, okay, now it's like, oh, that's Regina Hall. You know, that's Regina Hall. So, and I think it's funny you say that, because I'm wondering if people, like, I think maybe now that she is more integrated into the industry, like, are people are going to be ready for her like that? Like, have y'all seen Regina Hall like that? Like, you know, Brenda. Who just to say any fucking thing or do any fucking thing. Brenda. Like, I don't know if y'all ready for that. So, yeah.
And especially they said every line would be crossed. So, I guess I think I'm going to go to the movies and, like, make a big deal about going to see Scary Movie. I want to kind of support it. You know, they got their rights back, all of that. I know this is up your alley, Emerson. You should definitely be getting your popcorn, because you've been saying this for years. You want to go back to when stuff was funny. And this is how they're promoting it. We have to actually see it if it's really going to be, you know, like it used to be back in the day. But they promoting it like that. But that's also scary, because the expectation is going to be really, really high. So I'm talking about every line will be crossed. So I'm interested. So you going to see Scary Movie? Is that going to be one of the movies you just go see? I know you don't see movies but once every 4 years.
Right. No, I really was going to wait for it to come until they got home so I could rob it in the privacy of my own home, just so I could really cackle. Not saying I wouldn't cackle in the movies, but I mean, I like dark humor. So I'll probably, you know, I will probably, things have changed since then. So I'm like, something that they might do that's off the hook, I might bust out, start laughing, and everybody like, oh, you know, oh, we're not supposed to laugh at that now, but I'm going to still laugh at it. So that's why I was like, I'm going to kind of maybe want to do it in the privacy of my own home. So it's just like, but I don't care. It's just, I kind of still feel like that it's going to be people that's going to try to test it. They're going to go to see it to see what lines they do cross, because people stand by just to be offended. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I would go see it though.
I definitely see that happening, because, you know, people, they ready to talk they ish.
Yeah, especially after all the praise that, it's not the same type of movie, but The Sinners, all the praise that it's been getting, all the conversation about it, they waiting to take down a black movie or any black movie. They want to have any excuse to be able to do it. So, and, you know, black comedians, period, especially after what Drewski just did, they're ready to tear us down.
That shot, and you know, I don't think I'm just gonna put, like, I'm not gonna say I don't think he's funny, but you know, that's not really my kind of comedy, right? I'm not a big comedian person anyway. That shit was funny. Like, that
screaming. Shout out to Drewski. Screaming. I was literally yelling like, oh my god. So you're right, I'm ready for that type of comedy again. That comedy just had me rolling out of my seat. Like, yeah, I'm ready for that. So I want to see Scary Movie. Shout out to Drewski. And yeah,
all right, so who want to check in first, you or me, or we're a happy family?
I guess I could check. They ain't gotta know that. But it's been a while since we recorded, but I mean, y'all know now, but
right, throwing us under the bus, Emerson.
I know, right? But anywho, update. I'm great. I'm well. Happy New Year to me. My New Year, and I think I've said this on the podcast, but my new year, I don't know why I can't talk today, is the first day of spring. That just makes more sense to me. So, and I definitely feel like, honestly, it's kind of, this year definitely worked in my favor. I just feel like stuff was aligned and stuff was moving and stuff, like, when spring came, it was like, okay, it was newness. I feel renewed. It's new stuff popping, going on. And so I'm well. I came out of hibernation for my niece's birthday the Sunday before last. That was a time, that was during South By, that was a time from start to finish. I'll just say that I got lit, saw Tierra Thomas, and I don't even think nobody really knew who she was. No shade, No shade to her. She's a very talented artist, songwriter. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. It's just that crowd, I don't think they knew. It was just like, who is that? Like, that's what it was giving. They weren't even paying attention. I was looking for a second, but mind you, I was drunk. So at this point, I was like lit. So I was just like, okay, it's only so long it was going to keep my attention. Because, you know, her music actually was kind of, we were kind of like up here. And her music was kind of like out here. I'm talking about as far as like frequency and like hypeness. It's like, okay, girl, like we were kind of ready to throw it in the circle. And we was at that point, and it was just, she kind of, you know, it was just a different vibe. But shout out to Tierra Thomas. Shout out to South by Southwest. We kind of came in.
What's the song by her?
I don't know the name of it. I just know the one with Wale. I don't know. I don't know why this keep happening. I don't know the name of it though. But yeah, as we're fine. I'm sorry. I don't know the name of it. I have my phone right here. I could look it up, but I don't know the name of it offhand. I don't remember. But I mean, she's a popular artist. I mean, at the time, and her song was popular. I actually have one of her other singles too that wasn't even bad. That was it. Right?
Easy bad, babe. I never knew love. Something like that.
Yeah, it was bad. Because that's Wale. So anywho.
Just to your point though, it just made me think about not to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Kai Cenat didn't know who Wale was. Remember, that was a big thing that he had saw Wale. So I could see that happening for like Tierra Thomas if she's performing somewhere and everybody like, bitch, who the fuck is that? Right? So.
Okay. No shade to her. But, you know, no shout out her. Thank you for coming to Austin, girl. If you ever see this, anywho. There's that. That was fun. What else? Editing these clips for the podcast, I realized that I have really gained a lot of weight. I literally see it in my face. And it's like, I see it in my face from week to week. So it's just got out of control now. So like, I'm going on a detox again for 30 days. It's just as soon as I get the stuff to do it. I still have some left over from last time, but it's so old. I don't think I could use it. But I'm doing another detox. I need to reset before my reentry back outside. And I can't go. I thought I was looking. I'm like, oh, let's give him a little Miss Piggy. I'm like, oh no, we can't do that. No, I'm not. I can't do that. Like, my thing is, this is cool, have a little weight on you. But when I'm starting to feel like little Miss Piggy, I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. And I just see it all in my face. I'm like, okay, no, I need to flush my system out. So there's that. It won't probably be whenever I get the stuff, it'll be 30 days. It's not going to be like April 1st to April. It won't be perfect or it won't be aligned. It might be April 6th. I don't know. But I'm going to do it definitely before my reentry or before the next time I go outside. Now, April is always a good month for me because for whatever I did last time, I did it in April. So April's always a good month. So there's that. I think that's it for me. I'm just, you know, trying to, I don't want to be Miss Piggy anymore. And, Happy New Year to me, because it's spring. Spring has sprung.
Oh, Happy New Year, Emerson. Woo!
Well, thank you.
You got the sound effects.
I'm a little rusty. Hold on.
Yes, when you get the link to the detox, send it to me. I've been thinking about that, too. Like, I do not want to be this big chunky 40-plus-year-old gay. I just can't. It just doesn't align with my aesthetic, right? So definitely, I'll probably go on a detox with you. I think for my check-in, I've been reading this book called All the Lonely People, Me and Dre. And it was a really interesting book. I did give it 2 out of 5 stars, not necessarily because of the book. I mean, because of like what the book was about. I would say because of the writing and how depth I feel like the author went, I felt like it was just so much room to take the story even further. But it was basically about this older man who throughout the book had been lying to his daughter, saying that he had all these friends because his daughter, the book is based in London and the daughter lives in Australia. And so when his wife died, you know, he was alone, whatever. One of his children, his son is like on drugs, so he's not in the house. So the daughter had called him every day, every week for the year she had been gone. And then he started lying, creating up all these characters and saying that, oh, I'm going out with Jean, you know, Boland. I'm going out with, you know, Patrick, you know, to the grocery store to find out. He was lying to his daughter. Then one day his daughter said, hey, I'm coming home. And so he actually had to go out and try to make friends because he had been lying to his daughter all this time that, you know, he had all these friends, but he didn't. All he had was a lonely cat because he shut himself out after his wife died.
Oh.
And the funny part about that was to find out, well, I guess I'm not going to tell y'all that part. So the book is really about grief and really being how we process grief and about loneliness, too. And I brought that up, too, because I guess I'm in a kind of a weird state today. Specifically, we had a brother-sister call today, and I was informed about my grandmother today. Not that she passed away, but she has, like, 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's going through, like, you know, what you call that, organ failure. Now, this is alleged because it's some drama going on. You know, it's always some drama stuff going on. So my mama and my auntie's on the road to South Carolina now. So if that's to be true, you know, because I remember Dre asked me something a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. He's like, you know, have you processed what's going on with your grandmother? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, for me, though, death and grief, I've experienced so much death on like such a casual way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we said on this podcast before, we have lost so many friends, right? Like, it's you know, growing up black and queer from Detroit, it's just one of them things. And then, like, I hear people like on TikTok, like, you know, when they lose a lover and stuff like that, I've lost, you know, a lover, you know, or, you know, somebody I've been in a relationship with. I lost my great grandmother, who I was really, really close with. That was kind of like, you know, but my grandmother I was close with too, growing up. So it's just one of them things, right? Like, how do you stay? Like, what is my grieving process? I don't know. And then, you know, I'm a big Leo, and I've always had kind of issues with really expressing grief, or, you know, like my mama, I think we talked about on the show, like being nonchalant to stuff, but I just think that I'm numb, but I don't want to be numb, right? We talked about this before, like, you know, walking, what's the terminology? Sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to kind of feel the process. I kind of want to, it feels unbelievable because, you know, I was just in South Carolina, and when I got there, it almost gave me a sense of like, oh, she's okay. Like, you know, I know she's maybe sick, you know, she has cancer, but she's still grandma, right? Like, she's still, like, it felt. And so to get a call like that, you know, 3 months later, like, organ failure, wait a minute. I just talked to her last week and she was talking shit and, you know, but I know that's how it works, right? But it's still, so I don't know, right? Like, my mind is telling me, like, am I supposed to be, like, do I hang out tonight? Or am I supposed to, you know, I haven't even called my mama yet because I just feel like I'm not ready to, you know, like, we already had a long conversation. I already had a long conversation about it today, and I'm talking about it on a podcast. It's like, I called my mama, that'd be a third conversation. That's not a conversation I want to keep having all day. And then if it is true, it's probably a conversation that's going to be having quite often, right? And up until, you know, something happens. So, yeah, I just wonder, I guess, I know this is, you know, like, do you have suggestions, or how has processing grief been for you? And I know it's such a loaded question, so you could take a little bit of that as possible. I know that can be go every which way direction, but have you experienced being numb to grief, or being numb to like stuff like this, death and stuff sometimes?
Well, first I want to say, sending positive energy and love to the whole family and my condolences. That's, I want to get that out the way first. But as far as grief for me, I always feel grief. I allow myself to go through it. But I think that, I allow myself to go through it. But it's, I think as the last time I experienced it, it's almost like I was able to be a big girl when I need to be a big girl. Like when I needed to make stuff, when I needed to make stuff happen, I need to make stuff happen. Matter of fact, I talked to you last time it happened. We talked for quite some time. So I was able to, that I was able to kind of compartmentalize it. Like, okay, I'm gonna have this moment of grief, and then I gotta, stuff needs to happen. I need to, you know, I gotta talk about this. I gotta figure this out. Da 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 da. Or, you know, that's what it was. But I never feel numb. I can never say I would feel numb, because I do feel it. And I guess all I can say is I allow myself to go through it. But we talked about this before. Everybody's is different. So I don't have suggestions, because I've lost friends because of me, like, well, this is how I handle grief. And they handle grief a little bit different. And they like, oh, well, I thought you would understand. I'm like, well, that's not how I went through my grief. We had the same thing. We went through the same thing. But when I went through grief, that's not how I handled it, or I didn't do it that way, or I don't have those type of, some people have expectations when they go through grief. I didn't have any expectations. It's just, I kind of just go through it myself, and I don't expect anything from anybody. I don't expect everybody to, you know, call me and consult. I don't have those expectations. So again, that's why I say it's different, because some people are like, no, you are. You're supposed to, people supposed to call you, and they're supposed to do this, and they're supposed to do that. And it's almost like a checklist of things that you're supposed to do. But then Iyanla was, I think we talked about this last time. She was talking about how she didn't even go to the actual funeral for her daughter. She went to the wake, but she didn't actually go to the funeral. And she said it. She was like, why do we always, you know, subscribe to these things, what we're supposed to do, when it's not really for us, it's not really good for us, our well-being, or it doesn't really work for us. What works for us, podcast, it doesn't really work for us. So right. I would say, yeah, I would say do you in a healthy way. And if you do, I would say look at, not you particularly, but anybody going through grief, maybe just look at resources of what they say, maybe get an idea what the process of grief is, and see if you recognize any of it. And maybe recognize if you are trying to cover it up, or you're not allowing yourself to feel, because you're trying to, you're kind of avoiding your feelings, or you don't want to be in that vulnerable state. You don't want to feel that. And you kind of see, like, well, this is it. Maybe you read about it and just the processes of it. And again, I'm not talking to you particularly. I'm just saying people just in general. Maybe then you'll see, like, okay, well, this is normal for me to feel this way. It's normal for me to not want to go to work. That's why I'm like, I'm so shocked with Mary. Like, Mary from SLC.
Oh, right.
We talked about that, I saw her. Now we've seen her in the wild. Like, she literally just hosted an event for the girls. So, you know, and she said the structure of the show is going to help her. So, in her working, which I think, we talked about it, but again, that's it. For me, I didn't want to work. I was like, I can't be around people. Meet people in it while I'm going through something like that? No. Because it's like, I don't want to be bothered. Like, I don't want you, don't have to be on my face consoling me, but don't bother me either. Like, leave me alone. Don't get on my nerves. Like, but at least have that respect. And I guess I shouldn't say that I didn't have expectations. I guess I do. Leave me, don't bother me. Now, if you know I'm going through something, have some type of, I guess, common courtesy. But common courtesy is not that common anymore. But it's just like, some people, they'll still test you, or they still do certain stuff. I know from personal experience that people be doing stuff, I'm like, you don't do this. Why are you doing this now? That ain't what you supposed to. How do you do that? So, anyway, for you, you are Leo. You don't like expressing emotion. For you, I would say allow yourself to feel, though. And it's okay if you have a day where you're like, I need a day to just kind of, you know, be in my feelings, be in my emotions. And it's okay. Nobody's going to judge you. And if you, you know, if you need people, or if you don't need people, if you need people, let people know, hey, I need you. Or, you know what I'm saying? I would say be vocal, because especially for me, if you need me, like, I need you, please tell me, just tell me, like, I need you. Oh, okay. I'm here. What do you need me to do? If you just need me to be around you and I don't say a fucking thing, or I just need you to listen right now, I can do that. I don't say nothing. I just listen. You know what I'm saying? I think it's good to vocalize what you need from people. And then, if that's what it is, or if you don't need anything from anybody at all.
Mm-hmm.
I might still ask, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's really important what you were saying about grief. Even the steps that they say of grief, right? Like, if it happens in that order, I just don't necessarily subscribe to that either. Another plug, mixing my pop culture and this grief stuff. Is a new show by Taylor Sheridan called The Madison with Michelle Pfeiffer. She's on TV. I would never think Michelle Pfeiffer would be doing a TV show. Isn't she's such in a her legendary. 70s? Isn't she? Is she?
I think they said she's in her 70s. I don't know, but I can look it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so she on this show called The Madison, and it's so. It's not a typical Taylor Sheridan show. It's about grief and family, right? Basically, the synopsis of that, her husband, like they're a New York City family. And her husband every year goes to hang out in a cabin that his brother has, this land that he has in Montana. Mm-hmm. And that's like their ritual. You know, that's where he feels, most close. He loves to fish. He loves to be out there, right, in the wilderness of Montana. And so he would go, him and his brother got two properties, and he would go, leave New York City. And Michelle Pfeiffer, was the, rich wife, be like, I see you when you get back. But it had this perfect marriage or whatever. And then the last time he went to Montana, him and his brother got in a plane crash and instantly died. Mm-hmm. And the last thing he did, they was able to listen to the plane crash. And the last thing he did was scream out her name, Michelle. That's not her name on the show, but so as he was dying, he was thinking of his wife or whatever. And I just thought that was so remarkable. So the show really goes through. So she goes to Montana, she got to view the body and she's there. And he, the whole time, all the years that he'd been going out there, he kept a journal, a diary. So in his diary, he's basically teaching her all the things to do to live out there, right? Like, this is how you catch fish. This is how you start a fire. This is how you make coffee, And then he got rooms in the cabin where he always dreamed that his daughters would come and stay. He wanted his family there, but they were New York. So they there. So she decides to stay. But the whole show is so emotional, and it's about her processing grief, right? She lost the love of her life or whatever, and she know nothing else. And now she wants to live in Montana. And a family like, no, bitch, we need to go back to New York City. Okay. And she's like, no, I'm staying here to be close to her husband. She buried her husband on the property in Montana. So it's I know we're talking about grief, but I think that show really, shout out to Michelle Pfeiffer. Did you find out how old she was?
67.
Yeah, she looks good. I think this is going to be a award-winning trek for her, because she is acting like she is tearing that role up. So yes, I'm still hopeful that my grandmother, who knows, right, what the final or what the time or miracles happen, all of that good stuff. But like you said, I'm gonna stay vocal, I'm gonna stay current. I don't feel like, I said, my numbness isn't necessarily me. It's I am going to have to sit and process it. I don't think I'm processing it yet, because one, I don't know how to process it, because it's so all over the place. It's so loaded, right? What's happening? It's like a telenova, right, as this thing is happening. And you know that from when back in December and January and all of that, when we first, the whole family. So yeah, I'm going to stay positive, but I'm also going to, like you said, allow myself to feel. And then also, I think for me, I'm going to have to take the time to process it, because I don't want to sleepwalk, right? Like I was saying, I'm going to be very conscious of not doing that, because I think that's a good default for me, right? To just move on, power through, move on, forward. And not feel guilty if this does halt me or stop me or make me, what I'm thinking? I'm thinking oh my God, what if I have to go to a funeral and I got this new role and I got all this stuff, I'm already thinking like that, but if I gotta go, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
how they'll understand.
Right. They ain't got no choice.
Right. Well, right.
Yeah. So, but shout out to everyone who's experiencing grief. Everyone who's, maybe taking care of sick loved ones. Again, me and Emerson have been through both of those scenarios at a very young age. Like, when I think about it, like, how we've experienced that, you think, like, most older people would have experienced having to be in that position, but, you know, we experienced that. So shout out to all y'all. Stay strong. And yeah, that's my segment of grief today. what's popping for today, Emerson? What are we talking about? What are we getting into? Because I know we're going to get into some things.
You know, I actually, hold on. Let me turn my volume down. Because I don't have a clip for this on my, I didn't download this clip. It's something I have on my social media. But I want to talk about something that I saw the other day that was really, and I was going to talk about my check-in and forgot, but I think it's just something to talk about because I just thought it was so interesting. And I had never heard somebody say this like this before, but, hold on. It's talking about audacity. And okay. Hold on, I'm going to. Okay. It's there. Uh-oh. I'm watching again. Okay. So she's saying it's not really a clip, it's kind of like a GIF, if you will. But she says, every time you play small, someone less talented takes your spot. The world rewards audacity, not comfort. And I was like, that is so true. And then in the post, she just says, lately I've been thinking about how easy it is to watch other people get pressed, land huge opportunities, raise millions of dollars, and quietly wonder why not me. And if I'm honest, I don't think the difference is talent. A lot of people getting those opportunities aren't necessarily more skilled or more qualified. They have the audacity to sit in discomfort and do the hard thing to get in these rooms. They show up on social media when they don't want to. They send 100 emails a week. They pitch the idea. They follow up. They put themselves out there before they feel fully ready, before they have everything figured out, before the doubt goes away. And then she pretty much just talks about how she's going to, now she's going to start having audacity. And I just thought that was so interesting because I think that people, as a people, we should have more audacity. I don't have that much audacity. Like I don't have a lot of audacity. Like I always talk about somebody else. Oh, the audacity of that bitch. But it's okay to have audacity sometimes. I think we all need a little bit more audacity. Because I think not all of us, but some of us play ourselves so small because we don't have it. So I just thought that was interesting. Like, have you ever heard anybody say that? Like, or have you ever thought about that? It might have been reworded. Like, some people say, might not use the word audacity, but audacity, I'm like, but yeah, I should have the audacity to do this or that because, yeah, I should. Like, why not?
And I like that word because it makes it more like a bitch please type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think, to be honest with you, I feel that way. Like, the more you have audacity to a lot of stuff, the things happen. Doors open. Things, like, when you don't play it safe. Like, playing it safe. And it's so weird that you're bringing this up because I feel like even in a you know, at January, I was like, okay, I'm back, right? Like, I'm back and grinding and kind of getting back to, and I might not be doing the same things I was doing years before, but I felt like last year became comfortable. And I noticed what comfortable kind of did, right? Comfortable, it can be stagnant, right? It can be so stagnant. Like, and I feel like the more you have audacity, the more you be in rooms that you didn't think you would be. You'll be doing things that you didn't think that you could do, or you know, people know you because I agree with her. It's not about like talent. Like, you could take the same people talent wise and have two different experiences. And I do think it's audacity. Now, of course, I always say that. I think that same vein, audacity, is the same when I say success is on the other side of fear. And I truly believe that the most times that I feel like people get fully rewarded, and I think this is about anything in life, everything that we are scared of a little bit hold us back. Like everything you're scared of holds you back just a little bit. Like if you scared of spiders, that might keep you from going camping, right? Or keep you from being in Colorado, or keep you from like experiencing the nature, right? If you scared of like every fear that we have, I really think, and not to say that these little fears take up a lot of us. It's little, but it chips away at you. So I feel like every time you get on the other side of fear, it stuff happens. Doors open. Things become more, you know, people are scared to fly, right? Like, if you're scared to fly, bitch, you're not going to go nowhere.
Right.
I mean, you could do the cruises. You could do, but baby, you're not going to make it to Antarctica, right? You're not going to make it to Australia. You're not going to make it to the Great Wall of China because of that fear of flying. But think about, you get on the other side of that, you know, or if you're scared, oh, I'm not going to Iran because it's a Muslim. But have you met the Iranian people? And I'm just using an example, right? Like when people go there, you're not there to meet the government. You know, you're there to meet the people. And I hear, and I might use an Iran, but I'm saying when people do travel to these scary countries, right, they meet the most beautiful people. The culture be so like, oh my God, this is nothing like what I've been told. So I love that audacity thing. And I think is the way I look at it is being on the other side of fear, because we're scared to be audacity. And I think why we always say that bitch had the audacity, because when people are being audacity, it makes you uncomfortable. Like, bitch, excuse you, she had the audacity to think, you know, to wear that.
Yeah.
And it's usually your own uncomfortableness or uncomfortability, which is to another piece of fear. Like, sometimes when you're uncomfortable, it's something that you're fearful of. It's just all wrapped up. So I love that. I love that. And I think we should do that more. But, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, use audacity to get to the other side of fear. Have the audacity. Yeah. That's the word you use. I'm going to have audacity to get to the other side of fear. Because and the audacity could be like, well, I'm actually a bad bitch. That's my audacity. And I'm going to let these motherfuckers in here know I'm a bad bitch. And I know what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm going to let them know that. And that's the audacity that's going to maybe help take that fear down, like, because it's like it replaces fear. It can replace fear. You can use audacity to replace fear to actually get to where you want to go or need to go or desire to go and all that. So, yeah, I just thought that was so interesting when I saw that. And that was shout out to Nicole Kane, formerly known as Nicole Bitchy from the Nicole Bitchy website. That's my sister in my head. I love her so much. God. And
we grew up with Nicole Bitchy. Every time you bring her up, I forget about her, but she is like a part of my childhood. I remember being in high school, always like, go on to NicoleBitchy.com, like, get all the tea and all of that. Like, Nicole Bitchy was that girl. Like, we literally used to have to go to their websites back in the day to get
to get the tea, honey.
To get the tea and stuff like that. And another reason why, I know you were talking about audacity, but I always think about, like, people who get, like, doctor's degrees and stuff like that. I feel like sometimes they feel that people, or just like positions in the corporate world, I feel like audacity would get you even up the ladder, right? Because people have will say certain things like, well, you're not qualified. But your audacity will get you there. You will be qualified. Because just because somebody studied something for a years doesn't mean they could be an expert. But you could be an expert and not studied it in school, right? Like, you could have studied it and be well-versed. And I'm not saying everything is, I'm a big advocate for education, but what I'm saying is audacity can get you further than 12 years. Like, when I be thinking about in these nonprofits, people with doctors got the same position as somebody without one, and it's like, you was in school for 12 years to do the job that I'm doing. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just, when I think about audacity, I feel like that's an example of audacity, because you being in spaces and positions that maybe the world is telling you shouldn't be there because of your education or the way you look or where you're from or how you talk, how you dress, you know. And I think how you dress is, you know, I've been advocating that for years. Like, no one is going to tell me that I have to dress this way to be in this position, right? I have the audacity to be me, because if I don't like wearing three-piece suits, then I don't like wearing that shouldn't deter me from being, I shouldn't have to be scared to conform to that for other, because people say that's how you're supposed to look, that's what success looks like. No, no, no.
Well, I don't, anyway, yeah, I'm not with you on that 1,000%, but but that's all different conversation, because I think dress code and people, how people dress, is out of hand. You get people an inch to take a mile, and then they start doing stuff. They come and go in places that is not the time and the place to have your coochie out, or your ass out, or wearing bonnets and pajamas at job fairs. I think that's what I'm saying. I think it's a line, but I hear what you're saying, though. I'm just saying, for people who are taking what he's saying.
I agree with that line. Like, I told you about coworkers coming on teams, I mean, employees coming on teams with wife beaters. Can you put a shirt on? Where is that word?
Yeah, that's a little too much. Right. Like, when our directors recently said, he said, we're not after hours. We're not after hours. Right. So he's like, right. Sure. So yeah, he was like, y'all come to work. Y'all should be camera ready. He was like, you're at work. Like, you should still be camera ready. Like, y'all talking about y'all ain't camera ready. You're actually at work. This is not an after hour. But anyway, yeah, I just thought that was good about the whole audacity.
For him to have to even tell a grown person, that's what kills me about people. Like, when you actually have to tell a grown person to put some clothes on at work, right? On a call. Like, it's just like, girl, the audacity. But look, the audacity.
The audacity, right. They had the audacity to show up like that. And we just, and some of us play ourselves short with no audacity. So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I wanted to talk about this whole Jules thing, going to the gay club with all them women's and, you know, all the girls. That whole situation, honestly, is weird to me. It's really weird to me. And I'm trying not to be judgmental. I was looking at the playback of our last episode, and I think I was a little too quiet. I think I was being a little bit, I was trying not to be judgmental, and I wasn't saying much at all. And I'm like, I can't do that this time. I'm about to stop doing that. But I'd be trying to be respectful of other people. But I think listen, if you get offended, you just get offended. I'm going to say what I got to say this time. And if it don't apply, let it fly. And hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to play this clip so everybody will kind of get an idea of what happened, because I think he explains it better than I do. What's his name on TikTok? What is his name? Chocolate something? I forgot his damn name. Hold on. Up the damn clip. Huh?
You sound like somebody, auntie for real.
Okay. I do be, oh my gosh. Sometimes I hate it. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but it's like thoughts. I'm like, it'd be right there. I'm like, I can't remember. What is it? What the fuck is it? Oh my gosh. Like, what's that motherfucker? Especially in the end, you already know I'm not doing that. Okay, let's see if I can get him. I just want to give him props because it's not actually his clip. Oh, fuck. Okay. I forget his name, but y'all, he's on TikTok. I forget his name. This is not actually his clip. Somebody clipped him and put it in their own clip. But shout out to this young man. Hold on. Do I have it? No, I don't.
Shout out, young man.
You're right. Shout out, young man.
I think you should come out with an auntie's dialogue book. Like all the
I don't think I have all the dialogue of aunties, though. I don't think I got dialogue. Hell, after that last Sunday, I don't think I'm a good auntie. I'm horrible. Right. Auntie. I'm horrible auntie. But anyway, okay.
Oh, and I checked them too last night.
Oh. Oh my God.
Juan and David.
They gonna know. He gonna know. I told. Ryan, not gonna trust me no more. Because I didn't.
They were in public.
Yeah, but I was probably only one of a few people that knew.
Well, no, I said I heard y'all was.
Well, he don't know it's me.
Evan, they were in the middle of the. I don't feel like you was telling. That's just sharing information.
I'm the bone carrier, so I don't. I am. I guess it's Joe already put it out there, but anywho, not you checked them.
Yes,
he ain't tell you to mind your. He ain't tell you. To, I guess. Oh, he ain't tell you to mind your business.
You been one and did it. Oh yeah, we went. And then he pushed me, and then Aaliyah got involved. Oh, it was so.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, don't you talk to Tyreek like that?
Wow. Yeah, it was funny. What did you check? Yeah, the other one, or you only checked my niece?
Oh, I checked both of them.
Oh. No, he ain't tell you mind your business. Mm. Okay. Anyhow.
I think you did. But go ahead.
Jules showed up to his hosting at the gay club in Atlanta, 20 bitches deep, sat down the entire time, never interacted with the audience, never got on the mic, and declined interviews. And the girlies are upset. The girlies are upset that the freshly 21-year-old straight man from Houston that they booked to come into a gay club did not come into said club and appease the desires that they have for him and fulfill whatever fantasy they had of their mind of him being gay. The girlies are surprised. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm not. Jules did exactly what straight men have been doing since the beginning of fucking time to the gay community. And I, for one, am not mad at him. Blue Ivy taught him well. Get to the bag. For one, it never made sense for Jules to even be booked at a gay club. I don't even give a fuck if Jules signed that contract and said, I promised to FaceTime that cowgirl when I got to the club. There was still no reason for him to ever be booked at a goddamn gay club in the first place. Thinking that Jules was going to come into that club and show love to the gay community when he has never fucking done it publicly before is crazy. I don't know what the fuck people were expecting to happen. Were you expecting that boy to get on the mic and come out of the closet? Y'all are always reaching out and expecting people to be allies of the fucking community when you don't even support the people that are inside the fucking community. Like, y'all let y'all desires and thirst for a 21-year-old boy trick you out of a fucking bag. I don't feel sorry for nobody. You better dispute the charge.
So, he pretty much summed up what happened. What are your thoughts? Uh-oh.
My thoughts.
Oh, okay. I thought you...
Oh. No, I'm doing... Yeah, I was on mute. I'm changing my cord. You know this computer. Hold on. I got a lot of thoughts. Well, one, I feel like, for one, that guy... I had to block that guy that you just posted.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it was either him or Funky. I know. The other one. I know.
So, just to put that out there... Watch your mouth. watch your mouth. But let me see. I'm gonna respond per his video, and what I have an issue with is this idea that, again, this is, I'm processing what he said, not what I had on my mind prior to it, is that he really put a lot of the work back on us. And while I'm okay with that of us, you know, not giving opportunity, you know, us knowing better, we should do better. We've been doing this for years and da 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 da. But I just hate when we take a situation where Jules could have did better, Jules should have done better, and now it's our fault. Now, I agree with him. But let's not make videos to take away from what actually happened. Because it's not about making someone an ally. It's someone who doesn't get on a microphone when they make a club appearance. That's professionalism. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go back to what's actually happened, right? It's not about us making sure we find the right person or us, you know, fantasizing, da 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 da. Okay, we can do all that all day long, but he is the artist that got booked. So he had a responsibility, and even if it's not in his contract, let's just call it a, you know, the normalcy of a club appearance, right? The least you can do is get on the mic and say, hey, y'all, thank you for the promoters for bringing me out. I hope y'all having a good night. You say something. Like, who pays somebody to show up at a club and just be there and not say anything? I mean, the whole point is them interacting with the people at the club, right? Whether it's they section, you know, they waving, you know what I'm saying? That's what you would want from a club appearance. So if he was not doing any of that, and I might say, okay, he made a little comment, interviews gonna cost you again. So I think us trying to make it to these other think pieces, which, like I said, what he's saying is so true. I want to stay over here first with celebrities in this day and age, or the audacity. It just the culture is fucked up in general, because he probably ain't the only person. Like, take gay straight out of it. There's, you know, these young, I sound like an uncle now, but we talk about it, the laziness, right? Of like these people, like, he probably don't feel like he has to do that. You know, like, I'm too cool for school. And again, whether it was a straight or gay bar, right? I feel like because he's Beyonce's nephew, maybe he have that thing where he can show up, you know, and don't have to talk. Or, and then I also think it's that Beyonce is a lot like that mysterious aura they always trying to come off. And it's just like, okay, don't do club appearances. So I want to stay on that side and hear what you got to say. Then I could go to the whole gay ally stuff. Because, I mean, okay, we need to do better. Okay, well, bitch, he can do better first, right? Bitch, don't go in the club and you want to be mysterious and have this aura where, bitch, don't make yourself available. How about that?
I hear you. But I think... he was given the space and the opportunity to give that, to do that. And I don't know why. Is it, like he said, it because he is Beyonce's nephew? Because I'm confusion as to, and first of all, he's Beyonce's nephew. That whole mystique, not talking thing, it ended with Beyonce. She's the last person that can do that. I don't care if you're part of her family. She is the only one that can do that. And Solange kind of gets away with it just because she's kind of off doing her own thing and she's ducked off doing her own thing anyway. So, but I think if Solange came back into the space or she came back into like trying to do music and stuff like that again, she going to have to do some interviews. She going to have to talk. Like, because Kelly has to talk. You know what I'm saying? Kelly doesn't get to get away with that. Michelle really doesn't either. They don't talk about Beyonce, but that... that's where that stops. So he doesn't get that. If that's what he was thinking, boy, bye. Try again. But I agree. That would be a thing of him going to do stuff. He shouldn't do stuff like that if he's doing things like that. But again, I just don't understand why he was there anyway. A lot of people are trying to say he's gay. He needs to come out and all this kind of stuff. And I get what you're saying. You don't need to put it on us. But again, I just feel like this wouldn't even be a conversation if he wasn't invited to begin with. Like, why did y'all invite him? Like, I don't understand. I think I can't get past that. Like, to expect him to do what? Like, what was, I mean, I guess, like you said, okay, he should have said something on the mic or anything like that. But for why? Why is he supposed to say something to us? Like, what is our connection? What is our connection? Is it his auntie? I don't understand. But that's,
of course.
But that's why I bring it back to us. So I know, I hear you. You hold to him.
But what about at a straight? Well, okay, take the gay club out. I mean, him hosting anything would be,
well, he should talk. I mean, yeah, but he, that would, okay, if he was at a straight space, it would make more sense. I don't know why he was doing anything with us to begin with, but okay, if you want to just take it there, that's what he needs some type of, I don't know what type of training you would call it. I mean, I could say that. I mean, sure, training. I mean, but
he go is, back to what 21.
I don't have that many expectations of him. Like, he's I keep coming back. Like, he's 21. I don't know of him ever doing anything that was gay related. He's just a pretty boy. So it's like this, you know, like they said, was he supposed to FaceTime Beyonce? I'm confusion. Like, what was gays intrigued to get him to begin with? I get it's because it's auntie, but that don't have nothing to do with, he don't, what was he supposed to do?
But okay, but that's my point again. Why is that on us? Those should be his questions to answer. Like, everything you're saying, like, what was his connection? Why did he do it? He can go to any club.
Well,
and make money.
He was, but okay. Well, that brings me back to my overall point: the whole gay baiting thing. Let's talk about it, because that's why I want to talk about that whole gay baiting thing. That's why, because there's a market for gay baiting. That's why he did it, and y'all eat, not you, but a lot of the gays eat that shit up. And I think it needs to be. We need to stop. It needs to be abolished. I think now it's getting out of control. It's like, because y'all allow them to do stuff like that because y'all, not y'all, but gays. Some of y'all do be lusting after some of these men who are supposedly straight. We had the whole thing with EJ last time, talking about he date straight men. All this type, this whole gay baiting thing, it's a market. It's a thing. It's profitable. And I think he just wanted to enter the space why? So yeah, they offer him a check. He took it. So that's the issue with his integrity. That's the issue with him and how his integrity, what he's willing to take money for and think he just gonna get an easy check. Yeah, that's fucked up. And I don't see how you are anywhere like around Beyonce and you doing shit like that. Like, what's, you need to talk to your auntie or even your mama. Like, why you out here? I mean, he grown, but it's like, if you gonna be doing stuff and calling yourself being in the business or doing stuff like that, and then like now you letting Tommy straddle you and what are you doing? Like, what's going on with you? What are you trying to make your identity be? Like, are you trying to be, like a reality star? Like a rebel. Like, you want to be like a reality star? You want to start hanging out with Nally Nuns and stuff like that? Like, you want to, like a Ray J? Like, what? I'm confusion. So, that, it is some issues on his part, but then I guess he's only 21. Well, I guess I'm...
And I mean, and you're right, right? The gay baiting, and I have two things to think about the gay baiting, because I am, while on one end, it's annoying. While on the other end, I have to say my whole Twitch thing is gay baiting. I watch all these boys because they act gay. And I know they're gay baiting. And I know I pay my Twitch subscription every month to watch these straight boys gay bait. Because like you said, I see it now, like you said, it's a career. It's a path to getting attention and stuff like that. And it has gotten out of control a little bit because, you know, we're at a point now where that these straight guys are just accepting that they have a gay identity. And still, right? Like, I feel like the Twitch community, when I think about Rakai and Ray and Kai Sinat, the Clover Boys, you know, Ty Leo. Like, one minute I'm like, Ty Leo gotta be gay, right? Then the next minute, he's been accused of rape, right? And not to say that, because that still could be on that, you know, in that same vein, you know, that's a whole nother subject about people who sexually assault people and stuff like that. And not to say he did, like, I'm just saying he's been accused. So clearly he's having sex with women, right? He's not gay. But his whole, their whole identities in the streaming world is that's gay. I send you clips all day long, Emerson. That's all they do is gay bait. And they become these big stars making all this money on Twitch. Like, you know, I think like, Black Boy, right? I think he's a real big one in that way. I think he is straight, but I feel like his whole identity. But then I also think, I'm trying not to go too deep with it, because I also think we are at a time, because I say this all the time, we are at a time that gay and straight is so more blurred than before, right? There is not like this hard line. And I think that's what makes gay baiting so profitable now, right? Because are they gay baiting? If they're gay baiting, are they straight? Is they queer? Would they fuck their homeboy but then have a girl on the side? The girl part of it now, and they in the three-way. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this stuff is kind of dip. Like, this Generation Z is just more mixed. And so I think that opens the door for a lot of that happening. The only thing that what I don't like about it is that actual queer people usually don't get the same opportunities and the same recognition, like for the lingos. And you know, like a gay person couldn't, it ain't that many gay, black gay people successful on Twitch, right? But it's hundreds of gay baiting, you know, straight guys who do gay stuff, but they get to Twitch. Why can't you just be comfortable watching a gay person who say they gay and that's do the same thing instead of having to support someone that you don't know, that say they straight, but they doing everything. Like, me and you can get on Twitch and do all that shit they be doing. Like, we gay. But for some reason, the lure is that they say they're straight. So people are more comfortable to watch a straight person do gay stuff. But or they draw the line and supporting gay people doing gay stuff.
Yeah, but it's also the fantasy too of just they might be gay, or I wonder if it's that it's I think it's I'm gonna pull us in the fire too. I know we gotta. I'm putting gays in the fire. I'm sorry, I am. Gays. Yeah. I think that we need to abolish that whole gay baiting thing. I think it's gotten out of control. All this. My thing is, we need to only fuck with them if we know for sure that they're gay. Not if it's a possibility. Not if they plan like it is. Not a stuff like that. And we gonna give them a check for it. Like, it could have been easily somebody who was gay that could have did whatever their parents was he did in Atlanta. They didn't need him. Like, so just because you want to have and all this kind of stuff, that I'm not with that shit, especially not with no 21-year-old, but, you know, go off. Anywho, no, I think that's the problem. I think is that it's the curiosity. It's the people fantasizing, you know, this whole parasocial shit that's going on with people, you know, is out of control too. So I just think we as gays need to stop feeding into it and don't even accept that shit. Like, just because we think somebody is connected, just because they did this or he was acting like he was gay on that thing. So is he? Well, no, he don't say he. Okay, well then. So, like, that don't mean nothing. So we gonna give him life and pay him or want to do this or I don't know. I mean, I ain't gonna tell y'all what y'all doing y'all own privacy, y'all own home. If y'all want to subscribe to their OnlyFans or whatever, that's your business. But I think that it just needs to be abolished. We need to stop feeding into it and we need to start uplifting gays, because we got fine ass gay men that's out too. And we know they're gay. We're gonna talk about Tyler Perry and how I got another clip. If we could play that one too, how Tyler Perry plays into it.
Okay, but my question to you about that, right? Because I totally agree with you, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. That side of me, yes. But when you say abolish it and stuff, I don't see a future, because again, Generation Z, like straight and gay, like we say this all the time. Like, the straight clubs be the gay clubs now. I feel like the younger people are more intertwined. So that means more.
That don't mean they got a gay bait.
Then I think about the allies. I think about people who are straight, but thrive in queer spaces or vice versa. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are people, I think there are more. And I think this is why gay baiting became so big, because there are more genuine allies and more people who are comfortable with their masculinity, who are comfortable with being a straight man. So it's like, and then you go to these clubs and these, like, with the younger people, like these, it's not like who's gay or straight. They all, like, I went to one and I feel like everybody just, I feel like it's more that not defining sexuality. I think I keep saying this over and over, I don't think it's just as black and white, which caused a lot of gray areas, which is gay baiting. So that's what I'm saying. I totally agree with you about the gay baiting, because that's usually always on the back of downplaying or not queer people get, you know what I already said, because of course the fantasy or just the heteronormative, right? Like, they are more acceptable and more palatable and more, you know what I'm saying? Let's not even get into like feminine gay men. You know, we know all of that. So I don't see a world, while I understand what you're saying, how is gay baiting, getting rid of gay baiting is reality? Because again, for every Jules, there is a tank. And I maybe not a tank, but I even feel like
Tank's young not a gay baiter. One is a gay baiter, is one not. And my thing is, why do you have to be a gay baiter?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the gray. Remember I said, well, because everything is not black and white, it's going to create this gray area with your gay baiters. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. For every Jules, there is the tank. So it cancels each. You know what I'm saying? Like, as more gay baiters, the reason why we got more gay baiters because we got more people who are accepting, and then they thinking about money, and some of the bad ones that are comfortable in them spaces then become gay baiters, is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? That's how we end up in this gray area, because they comfortable, they could be allies, and then they like, oh.
But if we don't have proof of it, then it, but okay, so, but my question, it would be for Jules Santana, again, going back to that. What did he do? I mean, Jules, I mean, not Santana. Well, Jules Santana, well, Jules, Jules. Going back to him, I mean, but and he's young, but people like him. Like, my thing is, if we don't have anything, if they haven't done anything to show that they've been an ally, just because it's auntie, because Funky was saying that he's been around gay people, he should be comfortable. Okay, and like,
and he's in the modeling industry.
But so what? Like, my thing is, that doesn't mean nothing. That doesn't mean he should be hosting any event at a gay club just because I know he does that. Okay, that's fine. That's cute. But my thing is, he truly an ally? Do we truly see him interact with gay people and he's just cool and he just seems like, or he has a dialogue? I've never seen that. So I'm like, so I think, honestly, again, gays are not innocent in this because it's they both. Okay, he's not innocent, but neither are gays because they be lusting and wanting to fuck and be that curiosity turns them on. We know this. We talked about this last episode. It's almost like a part two of last week because it's like, okay, yeah, we do be getting, oh, yeah, he might be gay. I wonder if that be turning some of the girls on. And I think that if we got to stop it before it gets worse because it's just going to get worse. These men going to keep on trying to gay bait y'all and keep trying to get money out of y'all. That's how they be getting got on these date naps and stuff like that, because y'all be getting gay bait on these date naps, like, which is it's kind of hard to tell, but but sometimes it's like, you know, like, you be knowing, like, you know that nigga ain't gay, or you know he's not gay, you know he's probably up to some BS or no, you know what I'm saying? Like, I stand on that. I just think we need to stop it before it gets worse and stop, you know, all these fantasies that y'all have about these celebrities just because they pretty or just because, you know, you want to fuck and all this kind of stuff and you know, all this gay baiting and if there's no market for it, then that type of shit won't happen. I guess that's my thing. If we didn't feed into it, there would be no opportunity for that to happen. And then it's for people who just fuck with us. We know they fuck with us. We know they cool with us. We know they're true allies. Like, we know they be in the community cool and stuff like that. And they come like, okay, yeah, sure, they can come to the barbecue. I mean, why not? But people that you're not sure about, which I think a lot of more people get off on, is the ones that, you know, oh, I wonder if, and all that kind of stuff. I think we need to stop that. Like, and I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but It both sides was wrong, but I don't. Go ahead.
Just to add to you, where I get what you're saying too, and what I'm gonna add to that, and I think the gays, why for me, what is most important about what you're saying is they need to make sure that these are safe spaces, right? Because at any time he could have got on mic with like, I ain't here to be with y'all gay ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need, like you said, you have to do your due diligence when giving people space in queer settings. It could be dangerous, right? Like, even their safety with the way it turned out, right? Like, again, why kind of go what you're saying? Why subject your community, your patrons, to that type of disregard of who they are, right? Like, cause I could imagine, I'd probably be in the club like, fuck that bitch, you know what I'm saying? Like, playing it off, but that does remind you, like, you ain't nobody, right? Like, you gay, right? Like, it does, you know, you like to experience that being in a club. Like, imagine us in a club and we see him, like, you know, giving it with 20 women, and you know, we click on Twitter and seeing that he talking about, you know, making these little comments and stuff. So I think, to your point, we have to make sure we create safe spaces because that stuff could be dangerous at any time when you're not doing your due diligence to make sure that these people are allies. Because, and not just safety, meaning like violence, but emotionally, mental safety. And then it's comfortable, right? Like, bitch, I didn't come here to be, you know, looked down on by no bitch. You know, like, bitch.
Okay.
I want to be... I don't see if you ain't that fab girl to come in here and talk about give all that. And that's I don't care who you are. You know, your heterosexual prowess doesn't give you a leg up over here.
No,
with your
right.
Flick back ponytail.
But no, let's.
And your
let's
modeling talk about mask. But it's always them, the one that look like punks.
Girl, but see, I think that's what it is. They think he look like one because people talking about he needs to come out and stuff like that, and da da da. And I'm like, I don't understand that. If you talking about Jaden Smith, I'm like, well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like I can see maybe questioning him.
We already said sexuality is fluid.
Okay, so then they shouldn't have invited him. Like, I just don't understand if they was, I don't understand that, but I want to play another clip of some of the dangers, because you're talking about the danger of it and what can happen.
They couldn't afford Jaden Smith, I'm sorry.
Well.
They're not on the same bracket. Jules Smith and Jaden Smith, it's not just, no shade.
Oh, okay. But, well, let's look at this one right quick of Tyler Perry's employee.
Like, he wouldn't send me to hell. Yes, God does love you, right? But he loves all his children. Whether you're an atheist, whether you curse him, whether you live in sin, whether you drunk, smoke weed, whether you do whatever, he still loves you, right? But he'll send you to hell because when you die, there's only two places, right? And if you live in sin on this earth, he's so holy, he's so grand beyond our imagination. You can't kick it with him in heaven. Not because Mariah, Chapo got loose again. You got to time better. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he's so holy. He can't dwell with unholy people. And that goes for other sinners. Scoffers, mockers, liars, all things that are an abomination. It's not just the LGBT. It's if you're drunk, like if you're an alcoholic, if you are a murderer, like these are all sins that God doesn't tolerate.
Girl. All right. So now that's somebody who plays a gay baiter on TV. And he wasn't necessarily invited to our space, but that could easily have been somebody who is a gay baiter clearly he takes money to play roles where he's a gay baiting. So he's really kind of in the same boat as Jules to me. They're kind of in the same boat. That's why I played that clip. I'm like, well, they kind of doing the same thing. It's not the same, but it is the same because you're playing that person on person. But the people, but you think we going to hell and we don't even know about your boss. Like, we don't even know what's going on with that. But yet you're going to take money. For you to take money, you'll take money from us, but then you think we're going to hell. And that, to me, just kind of plays along with what you're saying. That it's not, you have to be careful, because what if we invited somebody like that into our space and they got on the mic and they said something like that? Because they probably want to fuck him, too. Oh, he's a pretty boy. Oh, yeah, and he got on the mic. Oh, y'all all going to hell. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's and I guess for when I saw that, I was like, this is why we have to stop. Tyler Perry, maybe you even need to stop playing into that. No shade, but
no shade.
Go ahead.
I mean, you're right. I guess in my mind, right? Yes, and totally. If he would, he is somebody that, you know, that's emotionally and mentally dangerous to the community, because like he's literally an actor who plays a character that tricks on men for money, that works as a stripper with men. And then get on the TV while the show is on to say that gays is like murderers and all abominations is going to hell. And it, to me, it's just dumb. It's just dumb, right? Like, foremost, dumb. And secondly, it goes back to, it's a couple of things. It goes back to what I always say, that I wish celebrities just, while they can't be Beyonce, like mysterious, just shut the fuck up. Like, why did he need to go in there and give a Bible lesson on fucking TikTok while he's on a successful show condemning a character that he plays, basically? You know, it just logically didn't make sense. And again, I hear what you're saying about the gay baiting. I am, like I said, I feel like gay baiting does nothing but appropriate queer culture, specifically Black queer culture, because it's not really a gay baiting. I guess it is kind of gay baiting and for white men too, like the Hollywood actors and stuff like that, or like Harry Styles, right? If he's gay bait, you know, everybody call him the biggest gay baiter there is, right? You know, he kissing men and all, you know. So it really happens quite a bit. And again, like Usher and I guess the point that you're making that I totally agree with, that is getting out of control. Because I felt like the gay bae at a certain level, that just meant you was a pop star, right? Like, you had to be a gay bae to be a pop star, right? Like, I mean, that you want to make sure you bring in that audience.
Oh, yeah.
But we got, but like, everyday people, just because they acting gay, should not get a platform to have the opportunity because they're gay baiting and then put in spaces where they can make money. They know they can, like I said, the Twitch thing is crazy. Like, one of the things, like Mahdi, and I like Mahdi, and I like Mahdi because he's, but I guess it goes back to what I'm asking. I got to ask you though, because I do enjoy guys who are fluid. Even if they're straight or gay, I like that he's straight. I'm not, and I might be enjoying it, but I don't know what that, like, it's, for me, it's comfortable entertaining, right? Like, he was voguing, even though, but the part I don't like it is the appropriation of it, right? Like, again, we couldn't have a real ballroom person on Twitch with millions of followers voguing, but we got this boy who is, they, and he calling it the zesty sturdy. No, he's voguing. It's not the zesty sturdy. He's voguing. He's seen some bitches on TikTok and they voguing. They all be over there voguing. They all do all this. So what I'm saying is, though, for me as a gay man, and not just from a lust point, it is entertaining to watch. So that's the part that I feel kind of torn to, right? Because I'd rather watch them than somebody smoking and drinking lean and playing, you know, NBA 2K. Like, I'm not going to watch that on Twitch. I am going to watch these zesty boys that's comedians, that's funny, that's more entertaining, because they are less, you know, heteronormative, right? They are more aligned with people that I know, but they're straight. But I don't know. So what I'm saying is, it's not just a lust thing too. Where do that come in place? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like you like Kevin on the stage. And I think the reason why Kevin on the stage is so popular is because of how he can speak to everybody. Cause he definitely, like, I was watching the other day, they were doing the 10 best gospel singers. I'm just like, he is just, and I know he's a straight man, married with kid, but he definitely, I didn't know he was straight until I knew he was straight, right? Like, all the clips over the years that I have been seeing him, I thought he was a gay man.
But see, but I think that's a problem too, though, because I think a lot of gay people do that. And I think that's part of the problem.
But what I'm saying, it didn't matter if he was gay. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I wasn't watching, you get what I'm saying? It was that he was familiar. So it wasn't you know what I'm saying? While it is the OnlyFans sex, you know, gay baiting, I wonder how we can, what does the other part of it, like I said, I would rather watch a Kevin on.
Uh-oh. Okay, so Tyree froze up. I don't know if he's going to hang up or not. Should I just get rid of him? Hopefully he calls back. But, okay, so we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty. Hopefully Tyreek will come back. As far as Kev on stage goes, I don't think Kev on stage is a gay baiter. I think Kev on stage is gay friendly. He's definitely an ally. And I think he knows that a lot of people think that they thought that he was gay. But I don't think that he's ever said anything to give anybody idea that he's gay, or he's, I think that's the line where it's like, or he has it, none of the people or people that he works with, he never, oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, Tyreek just texted me and told me that his, computer just shut down, and he's, I guess it's updating, so he's not gonna be able to come back. So I'm gonna go ahead and end it, but I'm gonna end it without saying what I have to say. I think that gay baiting does need to come to an end. I think that again, Kev on stage is not a gay baiter. I think if you are an ally of the community, you're an ally of the community, but you don't have to act like you want to fuck a man or play like you're gay or be touching other men on the booty or doing stuff like that to come off as if, you know what I'm saying, to try to get money from the gay community just because people secretly desire or they want to they want to have sex with the person, all that kind of stuff. I just think if there was no market for it, they wouldn't do it. But I think that because it's marketed, they see that it's a market for it, and that they see that you know, gays are into it, and you know, and it's a thing, they play into it. That's it. That's all. Gay, stop giving these gay baiters your money. Stop paying them attention and start giving money to people that's in the community that's openly gay. Or if you want to give money to a camera on stage, somebody who is truly an ally, then do so. But don't do it to somebody just because you think he's cute and you want to fuck. That's it. That's all. That's all I got to say. Especially someone that's 21 years old. And some of y'all remember when Beyonce, Kelly, and Michelle was like, better be street when he looking at me. Rub on that belly. You was old enough to remember that, and yet you want to fuck him. Girl. Bye. But that's it. That's all. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. If you're watching or if you're listening, thank you. We appreciate you. That's it. That's all. Until the next time, I'll holla.